Bless the Lord. Somebody says that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is a good God. He is a father of the fatherless. Yes, he's our shepherd. He's our everything. He is our source. Amen. And I just want to take this opportunity myself to recognize all the fathers in the house and those who are playing their part as a father. Because it's one thing to be a giver of seed and to plant seed, but it's another thing to nurture the seed. Amen. And so we always say that father is both a position and a function. But sometimes we just stand as the biological father and we stand in that position. But that's not good enough, is it? We need to function as a father in nurturing, in protecting, in caring for those that we have been entrusted with. And I want to recognize the senior father of this house today, Bishop Bill, and man who I respect and love, and I trust, sir, that you will continue to give birth to children. Even those who are older than you. I don't know how that worked, but God knows. Oh, he's a miracle-working God. Amen, amen. And there are some other senior fathers in this house that I really do respect and give high regard to. And I know Deacon George King isn't here, but I do applaud him as a father of many and a spiritual father in the house. Deacon King, Clarence, I do respect you, sir, and for the work that you have done in nurturing and, you know, embedding the faith into the younger ones, even by your lifestyle. And how you operate in the church. I do respect you, sir. Deacon Kennedy, I do give you much respect as well. You know, quiet, but you're a man of sound words. When you listen to Deacon Kennedy, he has profound words to give. And that is key. And if you younger ones want to embed that faith and to consolidate your faith, have a word with him. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. I just want to talk to you this morning on the importance of fatherhood. The importance of fatherhood. But before I do that, I just want to acknowledge my mother in the house, all the way 5,000 miles from Jamaica. I've been apart from her for, 11, 13 years. Yes, though I visit every now and then in Jamaica, but it's so good, Mom, to have you with us. Could you stand? And I am a product of her faith. And that woman embed the word of God in me. And that's what makes me the man I am today. And I give you much respect. I highly regard you as a mother and as a father. A mother who fathers me. I remember when I was going to college and my mom was sending me off to college and, you know, we have prayer meeting, you know, the first prayer meeting, and she was giving her encouragement. And her scripture to me, the first scripture she gave to me, and I will never forget this all my life, was 1 Corinthians 7 verse 1, touch not a woman. And those words were like a chain around my neck when I was in college. That even when there was fete and dance, you know, those words kept me. I have had near misses, but those words kept me going, you know. And my mom came to visit, and she really ministered to us yesterday, and I do appreciate that. God bless you. I just want to look today on the importance of father. And I am speaking not as a novice here, but as someone who regard fatherhood and is a father myself. And this is not a means of boasting or anything, but this morning my son, my wife, and my mother show great respect or their love to myself. And I receive this card. It says, from my wife and son, it says, what is a father? A father is a teacher, a protective, a protector, and a provider for his children. He always look out for their best interests, even after they leave home. And this is the part that was written by my wife. She says, Cleveland, I want... It's nothing naughty in there, so I can read it. I want to wish you a happy Father's Day. Thank you for being a wonderful father to my son. I am glad you are my child's father. I love you. Happy Father's Day. An excellent support to me as a mother. Proceed. And I want, because this is all a part of the message, and I'll tell you how it comes into place here. And my son, Jonathan, he wrote in his own handwriting, I love you so much because you look after the family. If you weren't my father, I would cry. I love you, Daddy, Jonathan. And my mom wrote, what a wonderful, marvelous thing to be a godly dad. I wish you have a happy and a godly day. Your father is depending on you to be what he wants you to be, and to follow and listen and to be submissive and obedient to him. Your mother continue to pray for you that you be obedient to God. Love you, Mother Perks. Amen. Amen. I am moved by this. Take care of those, Gary. And the whole point is that a good father, the home should be able to testify of your fatherhood. Because if we are working in church and preaching up a storm, and the home cannot testify of your effectiveness as a father, then something is wrong. The scripture says if a man takes care of the church and work very hard in the church, preach souls into the kingdom, and thousands of souls into the kingdom. Sister Mills, if a man or a bishop or a minister to young people and they are delivered, casting out demons, the scripture says if that same man does not take care of his family and be a true father in the home, he is worse than an infidel. Are you hearing me? So the home needs to testify of fatherhood, of the effectiveness of who we are as fathers. I want to first of all look at what this society is at the minute so that we can understand the importance of why we need good, effective fathers in this society. If you look today and you read and you see around you, you will realize that the Muslim faith, Islam, is one of the fastest growing religion in the world today. And that makes our children at risk of becoming converts to Islam. That's the society we are in. We are in a society that has started the process, and for some countries have consolidated this already, where they have redefined marriage not just to be a man and a woman, but with same sex, allowing gay marriages to be legalized. And for some, they are allowed to adopt children. Schools teaching the students to accept homosexual practices. Children today are more open to the internet and so greater risk of being exposed to pornography. It is said in the Bromley's report that 200,000 children at some point will have a parent being imprisoned in a year. We hear of these ruthless killings and gangs, and they are becoming more rife today. My friends, we need good fathers. Because the word father comes from the word Abba. It's a Hebrew Abba, which means that you are the source, that you are the sustainer, that you are the foundation. And if you are the foundation, it means that everything hangs on you. So as a father, we are supposed to uphold this society. When I read Ephesians 6 says that we should, fathers, do not provoke your children. And I notice it did not say mother. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but train them up. Train them up in the way of the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. That's what we are called to do as fathers. We are the foundation. We are the source. And when we speak of the father being the source, it means just as God created Adam, and out of Adam came a nation. You need to understand how God operates here. That when God was ready to make a nation, he did not go ahead and make individuals, a number, thousands of people all at once. Everything, the entire nation, was locked up in one man. You see, God always starts from the end, because he knows the beginning from the end. In that one man's loins was locked up a nation. Fathers, in you, everything that you are produce or yet to produce is locked up there. The creativity, children that is to be brought up in the way of the Lord, they are all locked up in your loins. And God is counting on you and me to be the source, to be the sustainer. Someone who sustains, nurtures, and keeps, and protects. Are you hearing me? And we have that lacking in society today. That is why the society is the way it is. Because we don't have fathers who are there to sustain and to protect and to keep. But what I find is happening is that the devil has a systematic program to destroy men and fathers. Are you hearing me today? From time immemorial, he started. David spoke to Nabal when he threatened him and says, Because you insulted me, I will kill everything that pisseth against the wall. 1 Samuel 25. Which means he was ready to take out all the men. Because the men are the sustainers and the keepers who will nurture the society and communities and nurture them in the way of the Lord. The scripture says in Ephesians 6 that we are designed to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Pharaoh, when he wanted to destroy families, he didn't go after the woman. He went after the male child. Because in the male child is locked up, hallelujah, everything, a nation, is locked up creativity, is locked up love, is locked up integrity. And the society depends on him. And so Pharaoh set out to kill every male child. But you know what? This male child called Moses was placed into the River Nile so that he would be protected. And in that River Nile was a river that Pharaoh requested of his men to throw the young male children into the water so that they may be drowned and killed. But this young man, Moses, who had the hand of God on his life, he rode the waters, he rode the waves. And somehow Pharaoh's daughter, the enemy's daughter, the enemy's produce, protected him and kept him. Hear me today, men, the devil might be after you and after everything that you produce, but the hand of God is on your life, and you are going to ride that which was meant to kill you. Can I talk to you today, men? The devil wants to take you out and take out your family and destroy the community, but God, in his righteous wisdom, will protect you men, you who are in the hearing of my voice. God has his hands on you, and he will protect you, he will keep you, and he will sustain you. He will cause you to ride the waves. Hallelujah. I want to talk. I'm just talking to you today. You have fathers in here with the muscular structure, look tough and hard, but fathers who are crying out for help. Are you hearing me? Sometimes when we find men committing suicide, we wonder, how did this happen? This muscular man who seemed like he had so much strength, but he was screaming out for help like a baby on the inside. Are you hearing me? But I want to talk to those fathers, because we are here to celebrate and to encourage you. And God says to me, minister to those fathers who seem tired, who seem weak and fatigued on the inside, and you can't show it. You are in a world today that looks to men to be everything. You're in a world today that looks to men to be Superman. But nobody understands that Superman is Clint Kent Clark, who is just a human, and the kryptonite can destroy him. Can I talk to you that the men are in a place of conflict, and there is serious issues happening on the inside? Some men are sitting under the hearing of my voice today, and they are empty. They are hungry. They are seriously hurting on the inside, and not even the wife or the partner that they are sleeping with, that they are in the house with, the children don't know it. The pastor don't know it, because they still come and do what they have to do, but inside they are dying. But I come to declare to you today that like Moses, you shall ride that which is meant to kill you. You find it hard to pay the bills, but yet so much is expected of you. God is about to take you to a higher level. He's protecting you. He's covering you like a hen covereth his chick, so the Lord shall cover you. Like a father has compassion upon his children, so the Lord shall have compassion on you. When the wife doesn't see it, when the children doesn't see it, God will see it. He will cover you. Under his feathers, he will cover you. Give him praise and glory in this house. The devil is trying to destroy your men. In the year 2000, suicide was the third leading cause of death among 15 to 24 year olds. Young men, the devil is trying to take them out at early age. It is said that more than four times as many men as women die by suicide. Men are more likely to commit suicide than women, the research says. Researchers suggest that men suffering from depression avoid seeking help because they view it as a sign of weakness. I come to talk to men today. Are you here, men? My God. Hallelujah. God is in this house. The spirit of Herod will not have our men. Because we are the source. The word Abba, which means that we are the source and the sustainer. Men, there's something special about when you take your child and lay your hands on them and bless them. Everything that comes out of your loins, whether they are going wayward or not, place your hands on them and bless them. Men, you need to take up the mantle. You can't give it over to the schools. You have to bless your child. Oh God. Pastor, when my wife was pregnant, every morning I went to this convention. I don't know if you remember when Jackie McCullough was there, and she encouraged us to bless. My wife was pregnant at that time. And she encouraged us to bless our child even from the womb. And I tell you, every morning I lay my hands upon my wife's womb, tummy, and I bless my child even before it was born. I don't know what he will come out to be, but I'm blessing him. Every time he was in that cot, even at an age when he couldn't walk or talk, I said, Lord, let the seed of righteousness be planted in his heart. I read the Bible to my son night after night, and I sing whisper a prayer in the morning. You know I can't sing, but I sing the song whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the morning, God answers prayer in the noon. And when I read the scriptures night after night, one day out of the blue, I heard my son, when he started to talk, begin to repeat the scriptures before I continued the sentence. Are you hearing me this morning? Bless them even when they are wayward, even when they are on drugs. My God, my God, if they are on drugs, lay your hands upon them and say, I rebuke every demon and every drug spirit out of this child, and I bless you. Come on, bless your children. Come on, fathers. There's something about blessing your children. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You are called to be the sustainer. You're called to be the nurturer. You're called to be the source. Because the father is not just somebody who produces a child. A father is somebody, anything that is produced out of you, and you nurture, and you protect, and you uphold, you are the father of it. My God. Can I tell you what's happening now? We are leaving the training. You read that scripture from Ephesians 6. The scripture says that fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So it is not the school's responsibility to grow that child and to train that child. That is why fathers have to be visible and be present. Are you hearing me? You have to be there. Oh, Lord. You have to be present. We can't leave it to the government. We can't leave it to the church, even the church. There is no substitute for the father. I don't care whether it is a good institution or an agency set up by the government to help. There is no substitute for the father. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 4, if you would find that, you will understand what I'm saying to you. The scripture says that even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. Put them in the care of all sorts, but you can't replace the fathers. Fathers are said to be they may not be indispensable, but they are irreplaceable. Are you hearing me? They may not be indispensable, but you can't replace them. The father is the root, while the children is the shoot. You need to understand that the shoot does not sustain itself, but it is a root that sustains the shoot. So, fathers, we don't let children come into our house and do as they please. We are the root. So we train them and bring them up in the way and admonition of the Lord. We teach them the way of the Lord. That's why we are created. That's why we are fathers. Oh, Lord. My God. Listen. Sociologist said, this Dr. Propino, he says, fathers are far more than just second adults in the home, but they have a direct impact on the well-being of their children. Listen carefully. The research was done in the U.S. 2003 by the Department of Health and Human Services. It says that a father who has a good relationship with the mother of their children is more likely to have children who are psychological and emotionally healthier. So when the father is present and in the home, and the way you treat your wife, and the child sees that, it makes that child much more healthier emotionally and psychologically. The research found out that caring fathers have better educational outcomes. Studies suggest that fathers who are involved, nurturing, and playful with their infants have children with higher IQs. Are you hearing me? They think this is scientific, but it is godly. God expects the father to be there to nurture and to bring up in the way of the Lord. Toddlers go on to start school with higher levels of academic readiness. Now listen to this. The study also found that highly involved biological fathers had children who were 43% more likely than other children to earn mostly A's. A's, like A's, not B's, not C's in their exams, but they are 43% more likely than other children to get an A in their exams or in their assessments, and 33% less likely than other children to repeat a grade. That's how important a father is in the well-being of a child. I'm just going to go straight to the role of a father. The scripture tells in Genesis 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it and to cultivate it. Daddy, the Bible said the first thing you have to do is work. Man, you have to work. Men are not to be lazy. The Bible says if you're lazy, you shouldn't eat bread. I've come across some English men and British men who just like to have the ladies take care of them. You have some Jamaicans too. Well, maybe they are all over the world. Oh, Lord. Men are not to be lazy. My son's favorite scripture from Proverbs 30, verse 24. It says, there are four little things. There are four things that are small, but they are what? Jonathan? But they are exceedingly wise. And one of them is the ant. And the ant is a worker. God says, if you want to know what a man should be, learn from the ant. Because the ant, even from the summer, starts to get all the breadcrumbs. Even when it's bigger than him, he's pushing it with his head before in preparation for winter. A man is a man who prepares for his family. You work your butt off so that your family can be sustained and kept and nurtured. If you can't find a job, go looking for a job. Don't sit comfortable on welfare, but you must be searching for the job. You must be industrious. A man and a father must work. The Bible says, work the work of him that sent me. Let's not look out for handouts and what church can give you, and what your wife can give you, or what your partner can give you. We need to work. The scripture says, God puts Adam in the garden and tell him, first of all, go work the soil. A lot of us love to listen and read the scripture which says that God said it's not good for a man to live alone. But God tell the man to work before he gets a woman. Because if you're not working to prepare and take care of the woman, useless. Are you hearing me, men? We are to work. So we should not sit comfortable. I am aware that some of us might not be in jobs because of different situations. But the idea is the mentality. What is your mentality? Is it a lazy mentality who just want to depend on others to take care of you? It's your responsibility to ensure that your house is upheld, and sustained. Your system is built to work. The scripture says that when you're working is not just about church work, as I said earlier. Can you hear me? If you work as the greatest evangelist, if you work as the greatest choir master, or if you work as the greatest pastor, or the greatest leader in church, and you don't work to take care of your family, you are worse than an infidel. So we need to work. Proverbs 13, verse 22. I'm talking to men. The scripture says that a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Are you hearing me in this house? You have men who are dying and are leaving nothing behind but debts. All liabilities. Men, we must work so that we have something to leave for our children and our children's children. My God. Men who are working for 40 years, 30 years, and don't even purchase a house. Men who are working for so long and don't have a penny to show for it. Because we have squandered it. And gambling is not just gambling in the bingo or wherever. It is spending it wastefully. Gone out with friends to have parties and enjoy yourselves, and going on holidays without setting a foundation and making sufficient preparation for the family. If you see a man beside you, tell him to go and work if he's not working. Tell him to make sure, if he's working, tell him to make sure he leaves an inheritance for his children and his children's children. Make plans for your grandchildren. Buy properties. Men, we have to be sensible. You can't just be going on. And when you die, we have to be collecting to bury you. Join an insurance. Are you with me? If you don't have much, just pay £10 per month for an insurance so that you can be taken care of in death, and don't create more debts for your children and your children's children. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children. Proverbs 13. Oh God. And while we are saying this, as I said, you have men who are not recognized for their effort. Deacon, when I sat with you and you shared with me how you work hard, sir, and you work hard to take care of the family, and even while that was happening, you were taking care of a church. Was it in Milton Keynes? In Burton and Trent? And yet working diligently to take care of his many children. How many children, sir? Six. All right, I thought it was 11. Six children. Amen. I thought Yvonne was the 11th one. Amen. But men who work hard must be recognized. Deacon, I watch you and I see you work really hard. You're a very hard worker. Work to keep your family. And the man must be recognized for his efforts. I'm not talking just Sister Penny now, but I am saying to us that wives, you must take the time out to recognize and appreciate and esteem your man in the house that is working hard. Sometimes he may not get it right, he may not do it perfectly, but recognize him, appreciate him for his efforts. Because that is why they end up taking their lives. Because those who they look, all the work they are working, nobody outside is recognizing it. And even those they are sleeping with is not even appreciating them. My God, we need to be appreciative. Men are hurting. They come to church and they are hurting, not appreciated. As they come in, you're telling them what to do and what they should have done and what they should do. What you need to do is say, I love you. I appreciate you. Oh, God. I thank God for my wife. For when I step out in the public, I don't walk with my head bowed down. Are you hearing me? When I stand before the church, whether as senior pastor or assistant pastor or just as a minister, I stand with confidence because my wife appreciates me. She tells me she loves me. When she voluntarily and spontaneously tells me without me asking for it, that's what makes me happy. And when I come to church, I walk with my head up high. My God. So when I come against criticism and cynicism, it doesn't move me, for my home is stable. And my wife applauds me when I need it. She appreciates me. She's my greatest critic, but she loves and appreciates me. Thank you, Pasida. I don't know what I did for the past 2 weeks, but she has somehow said it spontaneously about 3-4 times. I must be doing something right. Amen. Amen. The same Genesis scripture says that God was placed Adam in the garden to work it and to take care of it, to cultivate it. You know what cultivate means? Cultivate means to take a raw product, something like a rough diamond, and turning it into a beautiful and purposeful piece of ornament. So a rough piece of wood is cultivated when the carpenter carved it, nurture it, put in the different creativity. And when he's done, it is polished, it is refined to make a beautiful, purposeful piece of instrument. Men, we are the fathers and the source of everything that is in our home. We are the source and the Abba for everything that is in our home, our children, our wife. So we should cultivate them. A woman or a child should be better for being in your presence. Are you hearing me? When a wife marries you, they should be the better for marrying you. So when they come to you, even if they were a rough diamond, you should polish them up, carve them up, dress them up. Even if you have to go to London, to Harrods, to shop for her. Because you have men who looks on other man's woman. Are you hearing me? Even in church. men who have cultivated their own woman, and other men who have their rough diamond, not cultivating, lusting after the woman who is cultivated. Are you hearing me? Children who are being abused in the family, abused by men. But what we need to do is to cultivate them, bring them up in the way of the Lord. And I will have to wrap up here because time has passed. I know you're saying carry on, but they will kill Pastor Bill afterwards in business meeting for time. My friends, oh Lord, we must understand the role of fatherhood. A father is a worker. A father is a cultivator. A father cultivates his child to ensure he gets the best education and looks out for his or her best interest. A father is a prophet. Can I talk to you about prophet? A father must be a prophet in his home. We should not be the one to speak negative over our families and over our children. But we have some fathers who speak negatively. Let me tell you about Jacob. Oh God. Genesis, somewhere in Genesis 25, it says, and it came to pass as Rachel's soul was in departing, dying, Rachel, and she was giving birth to a child. And what happened? She died in childbirth. But before she died, she called the name of her son, Benoni. She spoke a negative word over that child's life. Because you see, men, if you leave the children up to the mothers only, though the mothers will do their role and do well at it, but there's still something missing about a father's input in the life of a child. Because the mother will minister to that child and nurture that child out of emotions. So when Rachel had experienced difficulty and challenges in childbirth and felt the sorrow and the pain of bringing the child up, she spoke his name, Benoni, which means the son of sorrow. So that means that child would live a lifelong time in sorrow and in pain. Are you hearing me? But when she brought, the nurse brought the child to Jacob the father, Jacob, and they said, Rachel named this child Benoni. My God. The prophet in the father Jacob rose up and he took his child and said, no longer shall this child be called Benoni, but this child shall be called Benjamin, the son of my strength, the son of my God Almighty, the son of my right hand, the man who kings will come out of his tribe. Because the first king of the human race, Saul, came out of the tribe of Benjamin. Are you hearing me today? Speak royalty over your children. Speak life over your children. Speak positivity over your children. Cancel every negative word that is spoken over your children. Undo and reverse every curse that is spoken over your children. Fathers, you have the power to undo the plans of the enemy over your children's life. Oh God. Tell somebody, prophesy over your children. Prophesy the word of God.
Some of them are bullied in school because bullies are telling them. One child came to the altar the other day, and when I spoke to her, she says they're telling me negative things about how I look and what I look like. But fathers, bless them. Let them know that you are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are the apple of God's eyes. You are the sensitive part of God's eye. You are His masterpiece. Come on, lay your hands on your children and prophesy over them. Tell them what you want them to be. I want you, son, to be a scientist. I want you to be a teacher or a doctor. Speak positive over them. Don't tell them they're going to be good for nothing like their old pupa. Come on, mothers. Fathers, look where you want your son to be and speak it. Hallelujah. God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, men. Join me up here. Let us pray. Because we have to go. All the men. To the altar, please. And if you have your son and your children, come with them.